Bibi brought. And before I'm going to share this morning, I felt like it was going to be key for us this morning. So I quickly want to give Bibi the opportunity.
Hello. Last night, I fell asleep with my, I had a towel on my head and I fell asleep with it in my bed. Sorry, this is a bit weird. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, like freezing from this little bit of a wet towel. Actually, like all my blankets and everything didn't keep me warm. And this morning as worshiping, I felt like God is saying, there's small stuff in our lives that we allow to actually make us cold. I'm not putting in the right words, but it's like the Bible says that if we are lukewarm, God spits us out. And there's small stuff in our lives that we tolerate that God is saying, let go. And it's actually keeping us away from God.
So Father, we ask this morning, God, would you come and speak to us? And show us what is those things, God, that we tolerate in our hearts, Lord, that make us cold. Father, would you come and speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, and show us, God, Father, show us where's the areas in our hearts, Father, where we're not allowing you to reign. Father, now I pray, God, you are worthy of a burning heart, Jesus. You are worthy of a heart that is full out for you. You are worthy of a heart, Jesus, that loves you. You are worthy of a heart committed to you, Lord. You're worthy of a heart, Jesus. And this morning, this is our cry, God. I pray for every heart here this morning, not just some, every heart, Lord, that every heart here this morning would have this cry saying, God, you are worthy of my heart. You are worthy of every part in my heart, Lord. You are worthy of every part in my heart. I thank you for that, Jesus. Come and work in us. Come and work in us, Lord. Come and work in us. Amen. Almost, it feels like one of those mornings that there's so many prophetic words that actually came throughout worship, and it just, everything lined up with what I felt like God wants to speak to us this morning. But it almost feels like after a worship session like that, you know, you almost feel like, we can actually say amen and go home. I'm trusting this morning, and I wanna say it from the get-go. I'm trusting this morning that God would come, and I just prayed it also now, but there would be something in our hearts that would realize and see that you and I, we are called for so much more. And Mike actually prayed it, and he mentioned that scripture in Hebrews 11, and it's so beautiful. It's one of the few scriptures that directly says it's impossible to please God without faith. It just gives us almost a path to His heart. It says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And this morning, we are called to be a people of faith. We are called to be a people of faith. We are called to be a people that trust in Him. You are called to trust in Him, not just in some areas in your heart, but every area in your heart this morning. Now, I want to, and it's going to seem like I'm going to speak about the opposite this morning, but you're going to see where I'm going to go with this. And I want to speak about fear this morning, fear. And I know usually when you hear, you know, someone saying you're going to speak about fear, there's a certain expectation that pops up in your heart. You know, I've heard so many preachers about fear. I've heard so many stories and all these things. I can give you a preach about fear. And I want to tell you this morning, hopefully God would speak to you through this. I'm trusting, and I know God will speak to us this morning if we're listening. It was so beautiful. And for me, it was actually a sign. We were in prayer meeting, Erica, can I share that quickly? And Erica, she had a type of ear infection, and she struggled to hear. You know when your ears are closed and you speak, it almost sounds like an echo while speaking, you know? And it was similar, she would describe it. And this morning, she was standing in prayer meeting and asking God, you know, like, oh, it's difficult to pray. I can't hear what people are praying because when I'm speaking, it echoes. And she just literally put her hands on her ear and said, please, Lord, help me. And when she took her hand off, that literally popped open. And when she told that story, I almost felt like it's a prophetic sign for us this morning. Are we going to hear what God is speaking this morning? Are we going to hear what God is speaking this morning? He's more than able. And even throughout worship, what I felt like, there was so much faith in this room. I don't know if you guys experienced that. It's like anything is possible. Now we can run out here and run through walls and I don't know what. Not really. but I want to, I'm going to speak about fear. And while preparing for this message, something I was reminded of was even my first year out of Bible school. I went to Bible school for 3 years, TMT. We were still in the old building. And my fourth year was quite an interesting year. All my classmates around me, they went to different ministries and walked in full-time ministry, and I was waiting on the Lord, and there were many opportunities, but even as I prayed about every opportunity, I just felt God saying, no, 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 don't, no. I'm like, God, please, just say yes for one thing. And I was literally at a place that year after TMT, I had no job. I was hanging around here in Wellington. I was like trusting for money. There was even a week that I stayed in my car, you know, there was just no place to go. And I struggled through that season. I won't forget it. Like, I was actually driving from Wellington to Durbanville, and you drive this back road. You all know what I'm speaking about, this back road. And while driving that road, I was just, you're thinking of all these different problems, and I just felt so overwhelmed by fear in that moment while driving. And this one side was filled with fear. I started speaking to God and, you know, just praying. And it got to that point that I actually stopped my car. I jumped out of my car. I stood and looked at the beautiful fields in front of me. And I just shouted out, like this, most probably the people thought I was crazy. But I just shouted out. I said, fear, you will not lead me. Just shouted it out at the fields. I know you're thinking, what did that do for you? Absolutely nothing. But I just got the frustration out of me. But while preparing this message, I was reminded of that. And why is it important for us to speak about fear? Even as Bibi spoke about these little things that we tolerate and we allow, it's similar to fear. We as believers, sometimes we tolerate certain fears, and without knowing it, it steals from our call, and more than that, it steals from our call as a church. Does it make sense? I want to almost compare it to this picture. Historically, the Romans, they had a type of attack position that they used called the tortoise formation. Now, it sounds very funny, but it was very effective. And basically, what they did was they were in lines, and they had shields. They had these big shields. And the people in the front, they will put their shields on the ground, and then the people next to them, all of you know what I'm speaking about, they put the shields, you know, almost like a roof, and they would move together very slowly. I can just imagine if you give the wrong step at the wrong time, that thing will tumble. But they would walk like that, and basically what it did, it gave them covering for their legs and also for high attacks. It was almost like a shelter, so that if there's a catapult or an arrow, you know, it can't go through. But imagine, they're attacking and there's one person there while they, you know, they're nearing the enemy. And this one guy's like, no ways, I'm going to die today. I'm not going to do this. And he listened to fear in that moment. And he decided he's going to, you know, just run in the opposite direction. And he takes his shield and he runs. It's going to have a negative effect. Two negative effects. Number one, he's back suddenly to the army, so he's most probably in danger. And number two, it leaves the whole group in a vulnerable position. And it's similar with fear with us. If you're going to allow fear to lead you, you must probably, number one, going to compromise on your own call. And number two, you're going to compromise on our call as a unit. This church is not just, hear me, it's not just dependent, it is a little bit dependent on Mike leading us, but we need all of you. We're a priesthood of all believers. We don't believe, so far as I understand, in Josh Jane, we don't believe in one-man ministry, you know. It's like Apostle Jan, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, all of us together. And we need each one here. And that's why we're going to speak about fear this morning, because I've seen it in my own life and I've seen it in people around me that we tolerate fear. And as we tolerate it, it steals. Is everyone here this morning? Hello? Okay. Amen. I want to read a quote to you this morning, and it's by a guy called Rick Warren. And it says, fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be. You must move against it with weapons of faith and love. Now, I want to mention this, because I know there's some of you that most probably would think, well, I'm speaking about fear, but, you know, what about us fearing the Lord? Now, I want to mention, there is a difference between healthy fear and unhealthy fear. Now, unhealthy fear is basically fear that I mentioned now. It steals from us. If you listen to it, it stops you from being obedient to what God is asking you to do. Okay, that's unhealthy fear. Healthy fear is what you and I are called to. You and I are called to fear the Lord. It's biblical. It's in the Bible. Now, fearing the Lord, I know for some of you, you're thinking about it, and how does it look? And we are going to speak a little bit about it later on. But I just want to mention this from the get-go is you and I are called to fear the Lord. It's actually in Proverbs 9, verse 10. Cassie, you can put it up. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. We can go on. The word is full of scriptures when it comes to fearing the Lord. Psalm 115, verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And then Matthew 10, verse 28. Jesus is speaking here. Okay, this is Jesus speaking. And he is saying, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You and I are called to fear the Lord. Let's just put it out there from the start, okay? So I'm not speaking, when I speak about fear this morning, I'm not speaking about this healthy fear. Does it make sense? I'm speaking about unhealthy fear. Fear that we tolerate that leads us away from God. And I'm going to touch on this now again. But when you think of fear, there's so many definitions and so many things and thoughts. And most probably when I speak about fear this morning, most of you have different pictures. And there's different fears, even in this room. And I want to just quickly mention three characteristics of fear that I've realized just out of my own experience and seeing around me. But they actually say that fear is something that you're not born with. It's something that you inquire. It's something that you develop. And you develop usually through two things. It's through experience, okay? You go through a negative experience, and now you fear it. You go and surf, there's a shark, it almost eats you, and the next time you surf, everything that looks like a fin is a shark. I don't know, ne? All of you know what I mean with that. Or, for example, I remember 2 months ago, I went for a walk, and there was a Jack Russell, and it looked friendly, it was smiling, and then I realized it has other intentions. And it was at the Boerland Stadium there, so I just remember there were 2 minutes where I just shouted and tried to fight it off with one leg. And after that, I have to acknowledge, after that, when I'm walking and doing my walks, and I see a dog, there is this thing in me that's like, okay, you know, my route suddenly changes. And it's similar. We go through negative experiences and we develop fear. And then the other thing is you observe other people going through things, and then you fear. In South Africa, there's a lot of negative things going on. And some of you has actually, you had the experience, but there's a lot of us that we look at friends and we see what they're going through. And we observe what they're going through. And without knowing it, we develop a fear. Now, I just want to say that you and I, we're going to face different fears. You're not immune to it. All of us, we're going to face fear. But as a believer, we need to ask this question, how do we process it? What do we do with it when I fear? Do we listen to it? Or do we take that fear to God and ask him, Lord, what do you say about this? Okay, I'm going to choose to obey what you're saying. It's a question of process. I want to quote the following from a guy called Oswald Chambers. I love my quotes. It says the following. It says, the remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. It's a question of who are you running to? Who are you running to? Who are you running to? You see, the thing about fear is it creates a false reality. It tells you this, you know, this thing that you're fearing, it is going to happen, so stay away. And it makes you passive. For example, Let me use an example. Fear of man. I'm scared what other people will think about me. So if you ask me to go and pray for someone in a Pick and Pay or in Spar, no ways I'm going to do it, because what if that person says no? What if that person will think, yo, you're such a, I don't know what, but you're something. What if? So what do we do? We listen to that fear and we decide, you know, I'm not going to do it. It's not for me, okay? And we listen. We submit to that fear. Well, obviously, when we read God's word, he actually wants the opposite for us. So that is the impact of fear. Makes our hearts passive. Now, I want to take us to a piece of scripture. I'm not going to be very long this morning because I do believe this. God wants to minister to us this morning afterwards. But I want to quickly look at Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. It's a very famous story and most probably used many times. And I want us to quickly look at this from verse 35. You can follow with me. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. Yes, Jesus was on a boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep. Not just asleep. He was asleep on the cushion. It was probably a sheep or something at that time. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, this is the disciples. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And we usually stop here and say, God wants to, you know, he wants to silence your storm, which is true. There's truth in that. But the piece of scripture actually goes on, okay? It says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, this is actually now Jesus speaking to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to take 2 points from this story. The first thing I want to say is, here we see two different groups. We see the disciples and we see Jesus. They're in the same boat. Same boat. They're in the same storm. And here we have two different reactions. Disciples, most probably running around frantic. We are going to die. The storm is coming into the boat. We're going to sink. We're going to meet the fish that Jonah once met. They're going to go through that. And then we have Jesus asleep on a cushion. Peaceful. It's just two opposite pictures. I don't know whom of you ever noticed that. What is the difference? I want to make this statement. It's actually very easy what the difference is between these two. But Jesus knew the Father. He knew the Father. He had an accurate view of who God is. And you could see it influenced the way that he processed that storm. Where the disciples, they saw the storm. That was their reality. They're like, we're going to die now. Jesus, where are you? But the difference is, Jesus was filled with truth, and the disciples were gripped by fear. It's interesting, Jesus' reaction there. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? I mean, we sometimes tell the story, you know, in the sense of Jesus, calm my storm. And we, you know, we tell it in such a way that Jesus' reaction actually had to be, oh, thank you for coming to me. Good, faithful servant. But his reaction is actually the opposite here. He says, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? This Dale Moody actually said the following. He said, to fear is to have more faith in your antagonist than in Christ. You know, fear grows where we have an inaccurate view of the Father. Fear grows when we have an inaccurate view of God. Where we have an inaccurate view of God, we allow fear to take over. One such area in my life was one in provision. I mean, I grew up with a single mom, and it was my brother and I, and I mean, we were we were quite poor in that sense. So after school, there was just no funds to go and study, and I wanted to come to Bible school, and there's even less funds to come to Bible school. You know, if you tell people I'm going to go to Bible school, they're like, okay, enjoy it. It was, I had no bursary, nothing, and just it was a decision rooted in faith. Just decided, you know, I'm going to do this. And came here and literally had to trust God, even when it felt like he is not going to go through. You know? And I remember one instance, it's actually in my second year at Team Team, my parents lost their house, everything. I would never forget that. I got a phone call saying, listen, all your parents' stuff has been carried onto the road, you know, and just got there and it was chaos around me. And I felt in that time, something crept into my heart that day of God will not provide. And I could acknowledge from that day onwards, there was almost this fear in my heart every time when it comes to trusting for God to, you know, to provide. I was like, oh, it's going to be like that day again. You know, experience, negative experience told me, you need to fear this. God is not going to come through. And I had to break that thing from my life. I had to come before God. I had to repent before him and say, I'm so sorry that I believe this. I had an inaccurate view of God. And in that area, suddenly fear just growed. Does it make sense? That's the example. The second thing I want to take out of the story, and I mentioned this to you guys, Nana, I said that, you know, all of us are going to go through storms. All of us are going to face that fear. All of us are going to have that moment. Again, how are you going to process this fear? And I want to say the following. It's interesting if you see in verse 41, it says, and they, after the disciples, after Jesus spoke to them and the disciples saw what Jesus did and calmed the storm, all these things, the scripture actually says in verse 41, and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey them? And they were filled with what? Great fear. You know, sometimes our fear is misplaced. Doesn't make sense what I'm saying. Sometimes we're fearing the wrong thing. We are called to fear God. Even as I showed you guys, Jesus even saying, we don't have to fear like bodily harm. We don't have to fear those things. We need to fear the one. We need to fear God. There's something in our hearts. Because here's the reality of fear. What you fear is what you're most aware of. And what you fear is probably the voice you're listening to. And it's true what D.L. Moody said is, if we fear God, there's no room to fear anything else. But if we do not fear God, we basically fear everything else. Now, I know some of you, your concept of fear is, how can you say we need to fear God? He's a loving God. He is. He loves us so much. But I want to take an example like Fritz, for example. Fritz, may I do this? Bernard, is he bang for you, Paul? Bye. I can promise you, and I thought of so many examples, and I thought of what I can use. And then I saw Fritz this morning. I'm like, yes, I know for a fact. I went there calm for a time, a long time ago, and I can say this thing of Fritz, just watching him with his children, is he loves them. No one can come today and say, Fritz and Nelly, they don't love their kids. They love them. But one thing I've realized is, even in that love, there's a healthy fear, you know? I want to please my dad. I don't want to, you know, go and disappoint him. Does it make sense? Fear and love can work together. It's two contrasting things, but yet it's so healthy. It is healthy. So I want to say this morning, we are called to know God and we're called to fear God. Does it make sense? So I want to make it practical this morning. I want to look at different fears because you must probably be sitting this morning saying, Scott, you speak about fear and you use that example. But I want to look this morning at six different fears that I prayed about. I felt just the Lord highlighting. And I know for a fact there's people here this morning and you're struggling with maybe some of these fears. And the first thing is fear of failure. Fear of failure, for those who are making notes. Fear of failure. That's basically what it's saying. Fear of failure is you have a fear in you that if you're going to try something or step out, you're going to make a mistake. You maybe had a negative experience in the past. You did try something and you did make a mistake. And now because you did make a mistake, your assumption is anything I'm going to try again, I'm going to fail. I definitely had a little bit of that in me. And what happens is, as saints, you know, someone maybe approach you and say, would you maybe just help us with this? Or would you maybe just, you know, share this or, you know, or do this? And you're almost like, no. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to make a mess of this. And there's even some of you that maybe you have had this thought in the past. You're saying to yourself, you know, everything that I will do, I will mess it up. I want us to look at the second one, fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. You were maybe in a previous friendship or a relationship, and as you just went on with your life in that friendship or relationship, there was maybe something that happened, and you felt rejected in that situation. That experience has maybe left a negative wound almost on your heart, and now every time you almost struggle, you know, to connect with people around you because you have this thing. If I connect, they're gonna shove me away. When it comes to accountability, you're almost like, no. Accountability is not for me. I'm not gonna open up because if I open up, you're most probably gonna say, you know, shame on you, go away. I also had a little bit of that. Fear of intimacy. Fear of intimacy. It's just you overall. You struggle to connect with people. You put walls around your heart. There's just no way that you want to build meaningful relationships with people around you. You need to realize this. If you're in this congregation and you're a saint and you believe God has called you, there's one commandment that we need to love our neighbor, you know, as ourselves. And this, if you have a fear of intimacy and you're listening to the fear of intimacy, you're most probably going to struggle with that commandment. You're called to connect. You're called to connect. Amen? Fourth one, fear of change. We have a church plant coming up. It's a lot of change happening. You know, there's going to be people going and there's going to be people staying, all these things. It is new, and I think it's fine to, we said it last week also, like there is an element of loss. But as soon as we fear that loss and we say no to the change because we have that fear, then we're on dangerous ground. We want to say yes to what God has for us. And he has this church plan for us. Maybe another example is, there's maybe some of you, you know, you see these slides and you see international outreach. And or there's outreach somewhere to Benoni or whatever. And you're thinking, no, I will never go. You know, that's for the younger people. Or that is for the beautiful, no. You know? And you look at it and you're just never me. Never me, you know? Benoni, always me. No. And you just love your comfort. You love your routine. And it's okay to love your routine. But I'm telling you now, if we're walking with the Lord, he's most probably somewhere going to come to your heart and say, listen, your comfort zone, you need to let go. And sometimes that fear of change causes our hearts to be passive and say no actually to that, what God has for us. And then fear of man, I just quickly mentioned that to you guys. Yo, I have a story like, when we went to, I think it was my third year in TMT, we had an outreach to Russia. And literally, we went, I don't know whom of you know the process, but you have a visa interview. And that time, they were very strict. Now you can go into Russia without a visa. And Luida, I think you were also on that outreach. And I mean, this is my second time I'm going overseas. And they nominate me to go first for the interview. So I walk in very excited. You know, and there's a woman, she looks very strict, and she's sitting there, so like some quiet for my, and the first question she's asking me, so I'm ready, you know, I'm ready for my interview, they prep us beforehand, is, are you coming to my country to spread your religion? I'm like, oh. And when she said that, I have to say, there was something of fear that just came into me. I'm like, oh God, just help me here. So I'm like, it took me quite a while to recover after that interview, because most of us actually thought we're not going to get our visas, and we in the end did, which was a miracle. And the day we went to Russia, we arrived in Russia, and it was on the news everywhere. There's a new law in Russia. You need to have permission from the government to preach at any church. You know, you need to get a signed letter, and here we are to preach the gospel. I'm thinking, oh God, please help me. I just want to get out alive. I just want to survive, you know. And then you're thinking, don't worry, we're going to pastors, and you know, they are going to be full of confidence. And you get there, and you know, in the first words they tell you, oh, we're quite stressed that you guys are here, you know. And you're like, oh. And I would never forget this. Last part of the story is we had an off day, and we went to two missionary ladies staying in a random town. And they were living alone there, and we as a group went there to support them. And we got there, and you're almost thinking, you know, you're going to worship silently in their house so that no one hears you. And we get there the day, and we're like, what are we going to do? Like, no, we're going to evangelize on the street corners. I'm like, oh, no. Yo. And fear just comes and steals completely. I remember I had to deal constantly with fear of man on that outreach, constantly. But yet, you know, God just came through. Nothing happened to us. There was one person. He's still there. No, I'm joking. but we're all out of life. But there was just a lot of fear of man. Now, I know that's an extreme example, but there's some of you, you sit in the marketplace. You work. Maybe you're a businessman. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're in school even. You're a youthy. And you feel like, oh, you know, there's this friend and you need to, you know, God is actually speaking to you to speak to your friend. And there's just this fear in your heart of, no ways, God, not me, you know, not me, never, ever, no thank you. I want to tell you, we need to overcome this fear. We need to, as a church, overcome this fear of man. It steals so much. It steals so much. But if we fear God, I'm telling you, the good news, if we fear God, the good news would pour forth from our mouths. I know it's easily said than done, but I want to trust this morning that there will be a breaking of that. Fear of provision, I quickly mentioned that to you guys. There's all these fears, and hopefully you can either identify with the Lord, worked with you with one of these fears, or you're sitting here this morning and you can recognize one of these fears actually having almost to a certain extent control of an area in your heart. And I'm saying again, I'm trusting that we will overcome that and that we will walk it out. But I want to go to that next question, almost finished. How do we overcome fear? Because it's easy to speak about fear. This is how it looks. Okay, get over it. No, that's not what we're saying. This morning, there is tools that I believe Lord is giving us to overcome fear. And the first thing I want to ask yourself, I want to ask you is, do you have a culture of spending time with God? So often, we as believers, we want quick fix answers. We want to, you know, do this and this and this, and then this is going to go away. Or do this, you know, say Jesus twice, and then, you know, this fear will disappear. It doesn't always work like this. It doesn't work like this. Five times, not twice, five times. You know, we need to have a culture of spending time with the Lord. That's a basic. You need to put out a set time and just be with Him. Reading, studying the word, praying. If you're going to do that, you're going to be more aware of Him than the other reality, than the storm. I promise you, but we need to exercise that muscle. We need to exercise it. It just does not happen by itself. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear the word. What is the word saying? If we do that, we're going to have faith to take on these fears that sometimes stick out. Okay. This is one scripture that we usually use when it comes to fear. And it's 1 John 4 verse 18. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Although this verse actually speaks about judgment day coming, there's a principle I want to take out of that. If we have a love encounter with God, if we are experiencing the Lord's love, if we make sure we're spending time with Him, I'm telling you, your attention is going to be with the Lord, and most probably your fear is also going to be with the Lord. If we get to know Him and He touches us, it brings faith, and you will be more aware of Him than anyone else. The love encounter creates awareness of God. This week in my office, I work with children, and it's sometimes very, you know, you see so many issues and things that you deal with, and it's usually bad stuff more than good stuff, and you like some days you just not list for it, you know, you almost just want to close your door and say out fishing or something. And I had one of those days that I just, I felt not discouraged, but my heart was just like, oh, like, Lord, come on. And I closed my office door and I shut it, and I literally went and sat in front of the Lord. And this week specifically, I just had a love encounter with God in a very long time. And as I sat there, I knew the Lord was doing it for the sake of me. But more than that, I felt like it was almost a thing that He's speaking to us as a congregation. There's so much more for you. You need to hear it. Even with Eric over the ear that opened up, you need to hear it. It's not just for certain saints. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. Number two, how do I overcome fear? I did mention this, fear of the Lord. But let's quickly look at Acts 16, verse 22 to 28. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates, my Afrikaans, ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. I don't know with whom this ever has happened. Anyone? After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. I like sometimes how the Bible says it. It says like a normal sentence, you know. They were hit, they were flogged, they were in jail, you know. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. You know, just one step worse. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I can imagine being in their shoes or pluckies. You there, and you know, they order you to get hit and flogged and all these things. And there must probably be a fear, you know, of what's going to happen now. And most of us being in their shoes would respond to that fear and would allow that fear because it's normal. I mean, if someone comes in here with some book and wants to hit me, I'm most probably going to run. Eh? You're most probably going to run. But you know, this was often the testimony of the early church. It's just so evident when you look at Paul's life, you look at Peter, you look at all, you know, these years of faith, they had a fear of God. They had a fear of God. They definitely didn't fear bodily harm. They didn't care what other people say. Even the authorities got some of them in and said, stop preaching. And they're like, you know, near. You know, we want to honor what God is saying. Fear of the Lord. Number three. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, let people pray for you and ask God to fill you with His Spirit. And Luke 22, verse 54 to 62, Cassie, you don't have that, so you don't have to put it up. But we see Peter denying Jesus three times. Most of you know that story. And there's almost this fear of man. You know, you care about man's opinion. Yet the same Peter, we read later in Acts, stands in front of a big group of people preaching the gospel. Not caring about the opinion of man. What is the difference? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And you and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is how you overcome fear. Not just once. We can come before God and ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. Ask people in your comm to pray for you. Number four, study the Word. He's in it. Read the Bible. Do you have a culture of reading the Bible? Not fridge magnet. Bible. Sorry. Number five, prayer. Prayer. Philippians, we bring everything to the Lord. In prayer. Everything. Are you praying about it? Sorry, I'm going to run through this list. And number six, almost done. This is the last point I want to make. Accountability. Share it with your leaders. If there's a fear, and you can recognize, you know this fear is in your heart. I remember that fear of provision. And that time, I literally went to Ruan that was in that time still leading church, and just came in front of him saying, you know, this is these things are on my heart. Please pray with me. I want to encourage you. Are you accountable? Like, are you in a comm? Can you speak to your comm leaders? Like, or do you have someone walking a road with you? Be honest to them. Share it with them. Ask them to pray for you. And I want to say this thing. We need to draw close to God. If it all comes down to this very thing, we need to draw close to God. I want to encourage everyone in this room. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. Let's not allow fear to come and steal what the Lord wants to do. So I want to end off by saying this. I said it at the start. What are you called to? You're called to be a people of faith. You're called to be a people of faith. You're called to be a people of faith. And I'm trusting, even going through some of these basic things, like these six fears that I mentioned, there's so much more. But then in your heart, you will see and acknowledge, you know, you've maybe given room to them, much more than what you're supposed to be giving room to them. And my hope is in the end of today that there will be almost a courage in your heart that will say, fear, you will not lead me. I will listen to the Father. I would know the Father. I will spend time with Him. I want to become more aware of Him. God consciousness. And if just where you are, you can quickly close your eyes. And I'm trusting, as I said now, that fear grows when we have an inaccurate view of the Father. And I'm trusting, Lord, that each one of us would not just, you know, be almost passive about this. Because, you know, some of us, we become friends with fear. We've been so used to certain of these anxieties and fears in our lives that we've just allowed them to come and almost plunder us for so many years, and we're okay with it by now. We're so used to it. But I do believe, and I'm convinced of this, just listening to the prophetic words coming in, and that would be shared, and just what God is speaking, and even in the worship, that there is faith in this room for us to come and bring those fears before the Lord. But it's going to take you, it's going to take courage. It's going to take stepping out. It's going to take acknowledging. It's even going to take repentance in some hearts where we've allowed it for so many years just to be okay with it. Romans 8 verse 15, it says that, you know, that we don't have a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of sonship by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And this morning, I'm trusting that fear will move, that hearts would be shaken, that you suddenly won't be used to it anymore, that comfort zone of fear, you know, we become so used to fear, it becomes a comfort to us. You will let go of it. Whether it's fear of change, fear of rejection, fear of intimacy, whatever it is. And I know for some of you, it's going to take delving into old wounds, things that happen to you, experiences, and through those experiences, you almost develop these different fears. And this morning, God wants to deal with it. So just for a moment, let's just take a minute, 2 minutes, and just allow God to speak to you. Ask Him this question in your heart. Ask Him, God, is there anything in my heart that I tolerate? Just ask Him that question and just listen. Keep on hearing the sentence of God wants to break friendship with things that you were not called to be friends with. I want to ask you if any of these things or God speaking to you about fear in your heart, and you I'm trusting for desperation in hearts and a hunger to deal with these things. Can I ask you just to quickly stand up if you can know you know, there's these things in your heart and you want to deal with it. Actually, can I ask you to come to the front here? If I could maybe get some of the leaders also to come to the front. So if you're responding, just close your eyes. Just hear from the Lord. I felt strongly while preparing this, also some of you, that you've almost made these inner vows. You said, you know, I'm always going to make a mess of it. I'm always going to struggle to engage with people. I'm always going to struggle to love people, you know. I'm always going to be rejected. You almost made these inner vows with yourself. And I want you to bring those things before the Lord. Even tell Him, you're sorry. I'm sorry I said these things. It isn't true. Just bring it before. Bring it before. If I can ask some of the leaders to actually just pray for some people. Just while we're busy, some of the leaders, you can just... While the leaders are praying, and I do believe we need to pray for each one that has responded this morning. But I want... Ingrid is going to sing a line, and I want you almost just to open your heart while being prayed for, just waiting on the Lord. And even everyone sitting, let's just open up our hearts. If I can ask, just put your hands in front of you, almost like you're receiving something. Ingrid is just going to sing this line of us and just receive, like almost like a prayer. Just receive it.
In your presence, all fear is gone. In your presence, ooh. In your presence, it's where. For you.
Father, I can pray over every heart in this place, Lord. Everyone sitting and everyone standing, God, would you come and break the hold of fear over our hearts in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that we can cry out to you and that you will answer us, Lord. Even as we read through the Psalms so many times, David crying out to you, God, to you, our deliverer. You are our deliverer, Jesus. And I pray, God, deliverance, Father, from fear. Would you come, Lord, and break any cycle of fear of our hearts, Lord. Any fear of man, God, break it, Jesus. Any fear of change, break it. Fear of intimacy, Lord, where our hearts may be shut closed because of previous wounds or previous experience. God, we need your healing. We need your deliverance, Jesus. Jesus' name. Every heart, God. Every heart. Every heart, Jesus. Every heart, Lord. Every heart, God. I want to encourage you, if you're sitting and you didn't respond, like, press into the Lord. Press into Him. Press into Him. Jesus. And in your presence,
all fear is gone. In your presence. And in your presence, it's where I belong. In your presence. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
just sing that.
Silence fear.
Jesus, Jesus,
you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear.
Can I ask everyone to stand up? Just with us. I want us to, while we're still praying for guys and so on, but I want us to declare this just quickly. If you can close your eyes and maybe just put your hands up, even as a declaration and a sign of surrender. And I want us just to sing this, just this one line, just this morning. We sing it over ourselves. We sing it over one another. We sing it over us as a body. We're going to end off with this.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus,
you make the darkness tremble.
Jesus, Jesus,
you silence. Every voice,
Jesus,
Jesus, oh, you make the darkness tremble.
Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear.
Every voice, let's sing it.
Jesus, Jesus,
oh, you make
the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
Your name is a light of whoever lifted high.
Your name cannot be overcome. And Jesus, darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear.
Father, we thank you that your voice silenced fear, and we release such a freedom and deliverance of every heart in this place, God. May fear not lead us, God. May fear not grip us, Jesus, except when it comes to you. And I pray for a fear of the Lord in every heart, God. May we see you, an accurate view of who you are, Lord. And I pray, Lord, may your love fill our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us? I thank you, God, that it's your name that silences fear. There's nothing higher than your name, God. There's nothing higher than your name, Jesus. And I thank you that fear, all these different fears, they bow before you, Jesus. I wanna just mention this. If you are here this morning, and we spoke about now about, you know, fear and all these things, but maybe you've lived a life that was just gripped with all these different fears. And speaking about, you know, you need to see God and spend time with Him. You've actually never had the relationship or even the sense of, you know, being close to Jesus. And this morning, I want to tell you that God loves you, that He sent His only Son. He became sin, who knew no sin. He took our place on that cross. He was the perfect sacrifice, and He paid it all for us. So this morning, so that we can come to Him, even this morning, coming to Him with our fears, He died for us. His blood is more than enough. And He wants personal relationship. He's jealous of our hearts. He wants personal relationship with each one of us. And if you are here this morning and you know you don't have a relationship with the Lord, like you've never decided to give your heart to Jesus, to make that commitment to follow Him, I want to ask you this morning, and I'm sure of it, that the Lord is calling you to Him. I want to ask you, if you're here this morning, if you can just maybe, with everyone's eyes closed, if you can just maybe, if you're that person and you know I'm speaking to you, can you just put your hand up? If there's anyone this morning, just put your hand up. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and we've been speaking about Him taking away that fear, and you want that relationship this morning, if there's anyone, just slip up your hand. Great. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can come to you. We thank you, Jesus, that we can bring that which is on our hearts and just place it before you. We thank you that you are faithful to speak to us. You're faithful to work in us. You're faithful, God. We thank you, Jesus. You're the Almighty One, high and lifted up, Jesus. I think we're going to, I'm going to give over to Mike. I think we're going to end it here, but what I felt is I think Ingrid is going to play still a little bit. And there's some of you here that you've responded, and there's, I don't know, maybe you're still waiting and you still have an expectation, or you just need to be before Him. Don't move. Just don't go. Just be in His presence. Just be with Him a little bit longer. But the rest of us, we're going to have some coffee and tea. Thank you for being here this morning. Just don't just go. We're going to have coffee and tea. It's going to be nice speaking to one another. God bless you. Thank you so much.